Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! Happy New Year 2020.
2020. No, let's rephrase that. 20 fucking 20. Can you believe we are on the verge of 2020?
For you and I, this is our sixth decade of being alive.
Being people.
Yeah. Because we were born in the 60s, you and I.
Exactly.
Our sixth decade.
Exactly. So let's introduce
ourselves.
Ourselves, just in case.
You forgot.
You forgot who the fuck we were.
You hit our contractual obligation.
I did. Got it
right away. The last episode, it took about an hour and 3 minutes.
It took a while for us to get fuck. So,
well, we're just going to throw fuck right out there right fucking away.
All
right.
So, in case you're fucking new, this is Stories from Sackville.
I'm Peter.
And I'm Steve. And of course, as we talked about last episode, we're not numbering this one Editor Steve is a jerk.
Yeah, we talked about that. Although he kind of came through at the end of the last episode.
That's true. That was pretty cool.
He brought something big to the table.
He is kind of behind though. Yeah. So you know, but anyway, we'll forgive him because it's that time of season, right? Where we have to
work with him.
He's
the one that makes this happen.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he may sort of put in fart noises or something like that and make us look stupid.
True.
We wouldn't want that, would we?
No. Well, you just gave him an idea.
Yes. All right. Yeah. So.
So what are we talking about, Steve?
Well, see, now I don't want this to sound pathetic.
No, okay.
It's probably going to sound pathetic.
Well,
but I don't mean it to sound pathetic.
All right.
This is our New Year's Eve episode.
It is.
Right? It will probably not drop on New Year's Eve, but it'll be close.
Close to
New Year's Eve. Now, see, the problem I have with New Year's Eve, I don't have a lot of stories about New Year's Eve.
Neither do I.
Because I tended to spend a lot of New Year's Eve by myself. And again, I don't mean to sound that pathetic.
Loser!
It's like, when I was younger, I used to babysit my cousins Dave and Eric McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
And so my family
was. Is he one of the cousins that your grandfather's shoes wore home?
Eric. Yeah,
there you go.
Eric.
See, we keep tying this. The last episode, you remember this.
Right, exactly. And then we talked about that last New Year's Eve, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I played Funky New Year by the Eagles band.
Yep.
Because at the end of there was Don Henley saying, "Whose shoes are these?"
That's right.
And I told my grandfather it always reminded me of him. He did not appreciate that, but you know, hey.
In my 52 years on this earth, I think I'm not exaggerating. I think I can remember attending maybe 4 or 5 traditional, air quotes, New Year's Eve parties.
Right.
My preference, and my wife will say the same thing, is to go to bed at 9, watch whatever's on TV, catch some of the festivities, and we typically fall asleep at 10:30 or 11.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what I'm happy doing.
Yeah.
So, as you said earlier, New Year's for us is not the big celebration, the traditional.
Exactly.
Because to me, it just seems like a reason to drink and party and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why we have this podcast.
Right. Right.
We do this all the time. We don't need New Year's, right?
We have no lives.
No.
So now we have no lives with a microphone in front of us.
Exactly.
But so, yeah. So it was like, and of course, last year, if you remember correctly, we talked about Jeff Banks.
We did.
And our love for Jeff Banks and the C-100 countdown.
That's right.
So we couldn't talk about that again because
we've covered it.
I mean, I know people probably won't remember, but
tens
still.
And tens of listeners will remember
our
that.
Our tens of listeners will not remember.
We wanted to switch it up a bit.
Right. Yeah. So I came up with this idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a good idea, but this is the idea we're going with.
I think it's a good idea.
And we're going to talk about music again, because music is a big part of our lives.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to talk about number one songs on
January 1st of
whatever year. And we're covering 1970 to 1989.
Yeah, 1970 through 89.
So what I've done, being the sad, pathetic guy I am...
That's why we're friends, because I'm a sad, pathetic guy, too.
I figured out all the number ones. From the U.S. charts and the Canadian charts.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of crossover there, but yeah,
there are some differences, yeah. which is interesting. So we're gonna mention some songs and we're gonna talk shit about them.
Good. Before we do that, I took that out of your mouth.
You did. I was about to say that. But
before we do that, what do we have to do first? We have to do our
beer review.
Right. So as you guys know, the Christmas episode, Steve actually purchased our whiskey.
Mm-hmm, and the Glenlivet.
He purchased the beer tonight, too.
I did. All I provided was
garbage snacks and...
Dude, it was cheese. I love cheese.
And pepperoni. Well, it was Hungarian salami.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. It was tasty.
Okay, so what do we have, Steve?
We have... part of it's in French.
I see that.
My French isn't very good. My French isn't very good.
What's your last name?
Yeah, I know. It's a French last name. Yeah, but, there's a long story behind that, which I will tell at some point, but not right now.
Yeah.
It's Beth's Black, which is... who's it by? It is a Nova Scotia band.
Mm-hmm. Nova Scotia Brewery.
Yep. Sober Island Brewing Company.
Okay.
It's a stout. When Steve came here tonight,
I said, should we put it in the fridge? No, we're going to leave it out for a bit. Because it's supposed to be enjoyed at room temperature.
It's not just a stout.
It's an oyster.
An oyster stout. Or moi.
Moi, je suis un maître stout. Our French is great.
I'm not sure if that's...
Un huître stout.
From the rugged old eastern shore. Yeah. A product of Nova Scotia, Nouvelle-Écosse, Canada.
It's a strong stout, though.
It's a 6.1. And it says on the bottom, all I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by, which is referenced, is quoted in...
Would say it again.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by.
Moby Dick?
But it's quoted in the Star Trek movie.
Oh,
Editor Steve here. What Peter doesn't know, and Steve can't remember because of the copious amounts of Glenlivet running through his system, is that the quote comes from the poem Sea Fever by the English poet John Masefield, who was born in 1878 and died in 1967. In the original series episode The Ultimate Computer, Kirk quotes it to McCoy. McCoy then quotes it in Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, but attributes it wrongly to Herman Melville of Moby Dick fame, much in the same way as Peter did here. Spock, of course, quickly corrects McCoy. Quark also paraphrases it in the Deep Space Nine episode, Little Green Men. So I'm just going to read on the back here.
So Sober Island is kind of an oxymoron.
When we're drinking about beer.
Sober Island, really?
So here's what it says on the back.
Okay.
Here's an oyster stout.
While you're doing that, I'm going to pour them for
you. Okay, yeah. And it's a can, so it has a nice sound effect.
Yeah.
So this is what it says on the back. This here's an oyster stout. We call it Beth's Black. In 1971, Hurricane Beth brought one hell of a blackout, not to mention the destruction of a Sheet Harbor pulp mill. Every family still living in the area remembers her darkness. She was not a force to be forgotten. Today, we respect her power and the gloom she brought. Flood your mug with our stout in her honor. What's an oyster stout? Well, we start by making a killer stout ale. Once it's as stoutly as it can be, we throw the pristine bay oysters in during the last 10 minutes of the boil, shell, meat, juice, and all, to add a true taste of the sea.
Wow.
And then it says below that, consumption of local handicrafted ales impairs your seafaring abilities. Always sail home with the help of a designated helmsman.
So you and I aren't going sailing tonight after this episode?
No, but we're going to grab a brew and get social.
Okay.
It also says that. Grab a brew and get social. And then it also says, just in case the metaphor isn't enough, they also say, hey, sailor, return this can for refund.
Yeah, 5 cents.
Yep. Barley, yeast, water, hops, and some oysters, too.
Which, for our several American friends, is about 3.3 cents.
Yes. Yeah.
We get 5 cents Canadian. It's only like 3 or 3.3 pennies for you guys.
It also says 473 milliliters mm-hmm. of beery goodness.
Grace. A cat just jumped on the table. One of the three.
I don't know if she wants beer or not. You want some beer? I'm gonna open mine now. Just a minute. Here.
Okay. Mine's open and poured. Ooh, it's actually, I had a... Yeah. Ooh, look at that.
Woo!
That's going to get... You're going to
get... I'm going to have a lot of head on that one.
That's what she said. Yeah. All right. Well, you're doing that.
Well, I'm making a mess. Well, I'm over here making a mess.
I'm going to jump into the U.S. charts.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
We kind of want to get onto this. So I'm going through the U.S. charts right now. In 71, actually, there's a song that came up. So 1970 is Diana Ross and Supremes, We'll Be Together. Everybody mm-hmm. knows that song. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
1971 is a song that, to this day, I still kind of like. It's okay. George Harrison's My Sweet Lord.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which,
fortunately, is a ripoff. He was sued for that and
really?
Lost.
I didn't know that.
He's so fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of like...
Cryptomnesia, it's called. It's when you think you've created something new, but it wasn't new.
Just Ray Parker Jr. with right. Ghostbusters. And
right,
he ripped
exactly.
off I Want a New Drug by mm-hmm. Huey Lewis. Okay, so yeah.
It's still a good song. I'm not
both songs
that.
Are good. Yeah.
So have we reviewed The Spear yet? What do you think of The Spear?
Okay, so I haven't either. I had a little bit of the foam. So yeah, I jumped in just
yeah,
to
you did. No, that's fine. That's fine. That's cool.
So let's do our...
All right. Beer
review. Did Editor Steve do two of those
probably,
effects?
Okay, probably.
Good. All right, probably. So let's take a little sip.
Spilling shit on myself here.
That's heavy.
That is heavy.
Really heavy.
All right, so.
I like oysters. I don't know if I can taste oysters.
See, I used to live in Windsor, Ontario.
Yeah.
The water tasted of mussels.
Okay.
Because the water basin got invested by mussels.
Mm-hmm.
And so our water always tasted slightly of mussels.
Nice.
No, not always. But anyway, sorry. All right, so, My Sweet Lord.
My Sweet Lord. Okay, I just picked that off our
list. No,
okay.
That's good. No.
Going back to you, take a look at the list, see what you see.
Well,
there's some songs on this list from the U.S. that I don't even recognize, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, just to point out the differences.
Yep.
In that, as you pointed out, the U.S. charts, 1970, Diana Ross and Supremes
mm-hmm.
was number one.
Yes.
On Someday We'll Be Together.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving on a Jet Plane by Peter Paul and Mary was number one on January 1st, 1970 in Canada.
So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
Which actually leads me to a slight story with my stepson Rowan, who, as you know, and some people know, is in a wheelchair because mm-hmm. he has cerebral palsy. Sometimes, he just kind of rolls around, in his wheelchair in the apartment. And he and I were having this conversation. He decided that he had enough of the conversation. He went, "I'm leaving," and I went, "On a jet plane," and he went, "No, in a wheelchair," and rolled away, which I found amusing.
That is amusing. I like that story.
But so going back to the U.S. charts.
Yep. 71.
Yep, 71. George Harrison.
My Sweet Lord.
My Sweet Lord, and isn't it a pity because that was a double A side.
Okay.
Because normally, 45 singles have an A side and a B side.
That's right.
This was a double A side.
Okay. But the funny thing is, in Canada, 71,
yep.
the number one song is Isn't It a Pity?
Yeah, not My Sweet Lord. I'm not quite sure how that worked out.
George Harrison, yeah.
But of course, in 1972, now this is a song that I think is often on the U.S. charts that is often misinterpreted. Because Sharon Lewis and Bram has done a version of this.
The 72 one in the U.S.?
Yeah, Melanie, A Brand New Key.
Yeah.
Which is about sex.
Okay.
You know, I have a brand new roller skates, you have a brand new key.
Oh, yes, now I know that song.
Put your key in my roller
skates. You've got
put your key in my roller skates.
Please forgive my singing.
Yeah. And so that was number one
in 72 in the States. Yeah,
in the States.
And in Canada, it was Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah, Family Affair, which great song. I really like Sly and the Family Stone.
We're up to 73. Everybody knows this song. Me and Mrs. Jones.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
I believe Canada.
In Canada, 1973, it was Dave Broadbeck's all-time favorite song.
Yes.
Which we have talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
Helen Reddy's
I Am Woman.
Hear Me Roar. What you can hear right now in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, is Dave Broadbeck going, fuck that shit.
I hate that fucking song.
Right. So that's for you, Dave.
Yeah. The 74 is a great song in the States. I love this song.
I have to go back.
Okay, so
it's on my phone. It's my.
Sorry. 1974 in the States, Jim Croce. Time in a bottle.
If I could save time. And actually, you know, the 74 one in Canada, I kind of like. Now, see.
So do I.
You know.
Even it has a tie-in to the Seinfeld episode, too.
And again, first year without my dad, who was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being on a ship, on his ship, in the... Navy people will correct me. I don't want to say the galley, but
it's called the ocean, Steve.
No, I know. The actual room.
Yes.
Where they used to eat and shit. The mess,
yeah.
I guess.
The mess. Hall. Yeah.
And I remember hearing this on the radio. And it's a song I still really like.
Mm-hmm. So do
and,
I.
And if you listen to a lot of is Charlie Rich.
Yep.
But if you listen to a lot of Charlie Rich, I mean, we think of him as kind of country thing, but he did a lot of, like, really...
He has a very...
Good blues
stuff.
He has
a very rich voice.
Yeah.
No, but that's asinine, but he does. He has a very rich voice.
He does, and he did a lot of, like, before...
That's
he
why became, I said Seinfeld, because George...
Oh, hey, if you happen to see the most beautiful girl who walked out on me... Tell her I'm sorry. Tell her I need my baby. Oh, won't you tell her that I love her?
So I'm back to the U.S. charts now. And 1975, I know the singer, Helen Reddy. I don't know this song.
Angie Baby is a weird song. Yeah, it's a twisted, it's a little twisted song, but it's been a while since I've listened to Angie Baby, but.
But if we go to Canada, everybody knows the number one song in Canada.
Right.
In 75, which was, you see it?
Yeah, of course.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Yeah, Carl Douglas.
Those cats were fast as lightning.
They were fast as lightning.
They were, because, you know, they were kung fu fighting.
That's right.
You know.
Again, I'm going to 76 in the States. I don't know this song either. I don't even know this band, the Staples Singers.
You don't know the Staples Singers?
No.
Dude. Oh. After this episode, I'm going to have to...
Editor Steve might have to put this song in here. And when I hear it, I'm probably going to
Sort of, yeah. Well, yeah, they're the sort of a kind of... gospel blues kind of singers. Mm. They did a song on the band. You know the band,
mm-hmm.
the band. On the Last Waltz, they did
the documentary.
Yeah. They did some a song with them. The Staple Singers is kind of a gospel blues. Hate to say it, staple. so they're really cool.
Let's do it in the morning. Sweet breeze in the summertime. Feel your sweet face. Or lay it up next to mine. Sweet love in the midnight. Good sleep come morning light. No worry about nothing.
But in 76, everybody knows that.
Of course, in Canada.
No.
Because we don't like the bluesy gospel one.
No.
We like disco.
Yeah, because that's the way.
We like it.
Casey and Sunshine Band.
Yeah.
That's the way I like it. Yep.
Yeah. All right. For 77.
77, it's the same.
I'm going, yes, it's the same song.
Same in Canada and the U.S.
But I'm going to get controversial.
Okay. Bring it on.
Okay. I'm going to make a statement.
Yeah.
There are people who are listening to this who know this fact about me, but I'm going to say it. I hate Rod Stewart.
Really?
I call him Rod the Fraud Stewart.
Okay.
So the song in 77 is Tonight's the Night.
Yep.
Which is actually one of the songs that it's a creepy song. It's one of the, because it's about a guy trying to make it with an underage girl, my virgin child. Think of Maggie May.
Mm-hmm.
What is Maggie May about? It's about a guy who wakes up one morning, a younger man with an older woman who is. There's an explicit thing on this, so I can say this.
It's kind of like The Graduate.
Yeah, The Graduate. He has followed his dick, and he has woken up one morning. And she's starting to look old. And so he decides that he doesn't like her anymore because she's starting to look old. And then he blames her.
For being old? Killing his buzz?
For taking away, for seducing him.
Okay.
Right? He blames her when it was like, no, dude, you followed your dick.
There's a song that appears later that will have that same conversation.
Yeah. So, yes. I despise Rod Stewart, what is it with that one song of his? Some guys have all the luck.
Yeah,
right. You know, this is a guy who models for some reason I don't quite understand. Throw themselves at him, and he's singing a song about how some guys have all the luck in which the girls throw themselves at him. It's
infatuation,
like, dude, right? And then Love Touch. Like, that's just a horrible song.
I actually like the song Young Turks.
Okay, Young Turks is the one song that I can kind of get behind. But like, Love Touch is just it doesn't matter who did it.
Yeah, no, it's
right?
Creepy.
I've never thought
about that way before, because a lot of times I listen to pop music, and we've had this conversation. I listen to the music and the cadence, blah, blah, blah. I don't always dive into the lyrics.
True.
When I do, I'm like, maybe I don't like that song as much, or maybe I like this song better.
But So, Rod Stewart is like a 30-year-old guy lusting after a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah, now he's a 70-year-old guy lusting.
Yeah,
after
lusting after
20-year-old
girls. and so, like, I really don't like Rod Stewart.
We're up to 78, Steve. Do you want to take this over? 78 in the U.S.
Well, this was a big song.
It was.
This was huge.
But it was also the same number one song in Canada.
And I'm going to say,
yeah.
Written by, perhaps, the greatest songwriter ever.
Okay.
It was written by Barry Gibb.
Yes.
How Deep Is Your Love?
Yeah.
By the Bee Gees.
From the Saturday Night Live soundtrack.
Right.
Or Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, yeah.
And the reason I say...
He's a prolific songwriter.
The reason I say he's the greatest is because if you listen to... Look him up.
Yep.
Look at all the songs that he has written.
Barbra Streisand, Dionne Warwick, Celine Dion.
Yeah. Grease. He wrote Grease.
I know.
Right? Grease is the word, right? You know, think of all those songs.
He collaborated on most of Andy Gibb's stuff as well.
And I know that he has been a victim of sort of the Disco Backlash. And I will defend Disco in a minute, but in terms of just pure songwriting, Barry Gibb was the man.
I'm a big fan of the Bee Gees and Barry Gibb in particular. I mean, they get encapsulated into that 3 or 4 year period between 77 and 81.
Yeah.
Because that was probably when they really boomed.
But it was. They were huge.
They were writing in the late 60s. Amazing songs in the 60s and 70s and into the 80s. Prolific.
Yeah. And, unfortunately, the only Barry, the only Gibb
brothers still alive. Because both Robin and Maurice have passed away.
And Andy Gibb.
And
as
Andy,
well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we are up to 79.
Uh-huh. Now, this is where I defend disco. This is where I'm going to defend disco.
Both songs are arguably disco songs. The Canadian one is more of a disco ballad.
Well, yes, that's true. That's true. That's true.
Okay, so we're talking about the U.S.?
Well, yeah, the U.S. one, and this is the one where I'm going to defend disco. People say disco sucks. Mm-hmm. I point to Chic.
Well, people freak out.
Yeah.
Freak.
Yeah, Le Freak. And do you know the story behind this?
No.
Studio 54.
Yes, I am familiar with Studio 54.
They were not let in.
Who was
Studio 54? Bernard Edwards.
Really?
Yeah, the members of Chic.
Yeah.
Were not allowed in. And the original lyrics were, you know, how it says, freak out.
Yep.
It was actually, fuck off. Because they got pissed off at the fact that they weren't able to go to Studio 54. And so it was actually a diatribe against Studio 54.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yep.
In Canada that same year, we had a disco ballad.
We did.
By a... okay, so I'm going to bring this up right now. I have been told that I use the word iconic too much.
Let me pause here and say this should be the Stories from Sackful drinking.
Yes.
Game. When either of us say iconic, drink.
Yes.
When you say ubiquitous, drink.
Well, see, I stopped that after it was pointed out. So I'm going to do the same thing with iconic. I'm not going to use the word iconic. So
if I say ubiquitous, don't drink because I'm just making fun of him.
This is an important or exemplary song from 1979.
It was ubiquitous and iconic.
From a Canadian artist by the name of Gino Vannelli.
Right.
And the song is I Just Want to Stop.
Yes, yes, you know, and Stephanie Tyler, who you don't know, but is Jason Book's girlfriend.
Okay.
She's a big fan of Gino Vannelli.
He's from Montreal.
Yep, and the next time she sees me, she will smack me in the face for saying that.
He had a very good career in Canada.
He was huge in Canada.
And some crossover stuff in the States.
Even into the 80s,
right?
Because he had, like, Black Cars.
Yeah, that was 84, 85.
Yeah, and Wild Horses.
Yep.
He had some hits. Yeah. There are some really bad songs by him. I'm not going to mention here, but I just point out Oliver Rockside, my friend Oliver Rockside, has just finished up a podcast called You're Just the Worst, about the worst pop songs. 100 worst pop songs. And Gino Vannelli.
Which song?
Appears. Was it Mama Coco?
Oh, yeah. I don't know that song.
Yeah.
But he had some good
songs. It's really bad. Okay. All right. And now a word from our fake sponsors.
Back in 1832, Halifax was a growing seaport, trading lumber and fish in the markets of the Caribbean and Great Britain. That was the year a handful of merchants formed Halifax's first public bank, the Bank of Nova Scotia. They believed that making an investment in hard-working people was a good investment. They weren't wrong. 50 years later, Scotiabank opened a Winnipeg office and helped the Western farmer harvest another kind of sea, a sea of wheat. In the late 1950s, banks weren't in the business of promoting small personal loans. Scotiabank made it their business and started giving credit where credit was due. Investing in hardworking people with imagination. It was a good idea back in 1832, and it's a good idea today.
feeling for a car, the number one seller in the world, the Toyota Corolla. And here comes the 1980 Toyota Corolla. New from the wheels up, with slipstream styling, more room inside, and a peppier 1.8-liter engine. The all-new Toyota Corolla's got what it takes to make you feel like you're sitting on top of the world.
One tiny spark becomes a night of blazing suspense as the world's tallest building becomes the towering inferno. Steve McQueen, Paul Newman, William Holden, Faye Dunaway, Fred Astaire, Susan Blakely, Richard Chamberlain, Jennifer Jones, O.J. Simpson, Robert Vaughn, and Robert Wagner. Irwin Allen's production of The Towering Inferno. See it for Christmas at a theater near you. Rated PG.
I want a quality stereo system, but it has to fit my budget.
Zenith has your stereo.
I want a stereo with 8-track, AM, FM, the works.
Zenith has your stereo.
I want a high-performance sound system with professional features.
Zenith has your stereo too, the unique wedge. And every Zenith stereo has Allegro tuned port speakers for clear, rich, natural sound. Zenith Allegro, we've got your stereo.
A deputy police commissioner puts his job on the line when he helps a friend cover up a murder on Columbo. Tonight at 8:30, 7:30 Central Time on NBC.
Tonight's movie, For Your Eyes Only, will continue in a moment. New Year's Eve is rockin'.
Rock like an Egyptian.
With the Bangles, Smokey Robinson, the Commodores, Miami Sound Machine. And more in Hollywood, Mark Lynn Baker and Tracy Scoggins team up with Dick Clark live from Times Square on New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Wednesday.
We're into the next decade now.
We are.
So
and
the U.S. one is the one that I wanted to bring up.
Oh, you
so
want
I'm
going to
let you say it, and I'm going to talk about the song. 1980, number one song.
Yes.
It's still a great song.
It's still a great song. It's a weird song.
It's a weird song. I remember listening to this song on the school bus on the way to junior high because it was played ad nauseum.
My favorite line in that is, ah, it's you.
Yeah.
But for those of you who don't know, it is Rupert Holmes, Escape, the Pina Colada song.
And this song is about a husband and wife, both of whom are looking to cheat on each other.
Yes, they are.
That's what the song is about.
But it's from the point of view of the guy.
Yeah, it is.
This was
obviously before social media. So he sees an ad in the paper and he's interested by it. So he responds to it.
Do you like Pina Coladas? Yeah. Making Love in the Rain?
At the end of the song, when they meet for their affair, he finds out that the woman who wrote this ad was his wife.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you like. So if you're married to somebody, why don't you know that?
Yeah. I know.
Anyway, it is a great song. It's featured in the Adam Sandler film Grown Ups.
Yeah.
I still like the song. I like listening to it. But when you think about it, it's really about two people who are married who are looking to have an affair on each other.
Yeah. 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 And that's the line is when she walks in, she sees him and she goes, "Ah, it's you."
I knew her I knew her smile in an instant.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh,
it's you." And it's like,
then we laughed for a moment, and I said, "I never knew."
Yeah. It's like no wonder your relationship's in trouble. And these are basic things.
Yeah.
Do you like pina coladas?
Yeah.
Like,
you would know that about. I can tell you what my wife likes.
Of course. Karen doesn't drink wine because it gives her a headache. She likes Coors Light for some reason.
Hates getting caught in the rain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Karen swears when it snows, which leads to Rowan, the stepson, saying, even in July, he'll go, "Mom, it's snowing," just so that she'll swear.
That's Rowan. That's not leaving on the jet plane, but leaving in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
In 1980, the number one song was a song, I'm not going to use the word ubiquitous, but was a song that every boy wanted to waltz to at the junior high dance, which was
Styx. Babe.
Cause you know it's you, babe. Whenever I get weary and I've had enough, feel like giving up. You know it's you, babe. Giving me the courage and the strength I
with the synthesizer.
I have this on vinyl.
Oh,
the perfect album. The album. I have most of the sticks on vinyl. Ooh, okay, take us now. Okay. And then in the Canadian, I'm going to go to the Canadian track now since we're here. 1981.
The same as in the U.S., by the way.
Yeah, okay.
Exact same song, yeah.
Who, I'm always, this is one of the things.
We talked about him in a Christmas episode.
Yeah, and I'm always surprised just how young he was.
I know.
When he was murdered.
Yeah.
Right? And we were talking about John Lennon.
Yeah.
It's like even now when he was only 40.
I know.
When he was killed.
Close to 13 years younger than you and I are. Right
exactly. It's like I'm 52 now.
Yeah.
I remember his murder. I'm going to call it a murder.
What he had accomplished up until that point. Yeah. Not just as a solo artist, but as a member of the Beatles.
Yeah, and this one is just like starting over.
Mm. So yeah, great song. I remember roller skating to that, Wheelies.
Yes. Yes. Me too.
Okay, we're up to 81? No, 82.
Okay, so. And now 82 was the year you and I started high school.
Yep.
September 82, high school. Sackville High.
And once again, the song.
Go Kingfishers!
Once again, the number one song in the States is the same as the number one song in Canada.
Okay, all right, it's a weird video.
It is, well.
Like it's a song about.
It's not weird now. It was probably weird back then.
Well, it's a song because it's become a fitness song.
Yeah. But it was also
a song. It's a song about, and I'm going to use the F word. Yeah. It's a song about fucking.
Yes. Video was. It was also. I think it was also the time that Olivia Newton-John went from being a really hot woman to being a blown-up sex symbol.
True.
Because we remember at that time we remember her from Grease being Sandy, and going from the nice girl to the sort of hot girl. But in this, she was in the high-waisted spandex, and she became a full-blown pin-up poster. Sex symbol.
But the video and the song is physical.
Yeah. And I don't mean that to.
No, yeah, no, yeah, 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 yeah.
But and the song was, physical. So there's a bunch of.
But it was a weird video.
Oiled guys.
That who end up going out with each other.
Right.
They're
gay. At the end of the video.
Yeah, they're gay. And it's like. And she just kind of shrugs. And it's one of those videos where you're thinking, is this homophobic or not? I'm not quite sure because it's like just so weird.
I'm thinking maybe it was. Maybe the introduction of this is the way things
are. Perhaps. You know, but like I said.
Until Blonsky Beat came along
a
few years later.
Which is, a great song. I mean, Small Town Boys.
Great
song. One of my all-time favorite songs.
Me too.
But,
so
it's a song about fucking that became about fitness for some reason.
1983.
Well.
In the U.S.
There's a texture about that. I'm not a musician, so I'm not sure how to sort of describe it. But there's a texture about this song. Something when I listen to this song, there's something about it that I really like, and I can't put my finger on it. But it's Hall & Oates Maneater.
It's catchy.
Or Daryl Hall and John Oates. Yeah. Fun fact.
It's a catchy song.
Fun fact: they don't like to be referred to as Hall & Oates.
Really?
They prefer to be referred to as Daryl Hall and John Oates.
And John Oates had hair very similar to Gino Vanelli, who we mentioned earlier.
That's true. Yeah. And he also had a porn mustache.
He did. and a leather vest.
That's true.
So in 83.
However, in 83.
In Canada.
It was not Maneater.
No. It Yes, and which was a remake, which you touched based on one of your Saturday Night Things. And I think at the time, Tony Baza was like 34 or 35.
Yeah, she was a choreographer. Like a cheerleader, because I think she worked... dancer. I think she worked for like the L.A. Lakers, and the cheerleaders.
Sort of dressed up and posing as like a 19 or 20.
Yeah, it's kind of, again, it's kind of dodgy now. It's kind of like,
It was a cool song.
Oh no, it's a good song.
Yeah.
Right. And then of course, now this is a song.
Are we up to 84?
Yes.
Okay.
This is a song that will divide the audience.
Well, it's same number one in Canada and the US.
Yeah. And there was a period where Paul McCartney did duets.
Mm-hmm.
Ebony and Ivory, Stevie Wonder.
That was 82, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he did two songs with the late Michael Jackson.
Yes.
This one is Say, Say, Say.
One was on Paul McCartney's album, one was on Michael Jackson's album, yeah.
Exactly.
So. The one on Paul McCartney's was The Girl Is Mine, or is that?
Yeah, This Girl Is Mine, yeah.
That didn't chart as high, but this one went to number one in both Canada and the U.S.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm going to get you to do, and there's a reason why I'm going to get you to 1985 for the American.
Yep.
And I'll do the Canadian, because I think I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again.
Probably have.
But I remember that because my father mentioned it to me, so I must have told this story before. But you talk about the iconic drink, 1985 yes. U.S. charts.
Madonna.
Like a Virgin.
Mm.
Touched for the very first time.
And my wife, my current wife, and I started dating in 1984.
He's got like 20 of them.
I'm like Russ Geller. My wife, who I've talked to many times, Carmel, started dating in 1984. And she was a big fan of this artist. So, 1985, Like a Virgin was... Before that, she had Lucky Star and a few other big hits. That album, Like a Virgin, dropped...
Oh, that was huge.
I think they had... She had three or four songs that went to number one on that album. So it was one of those albums. Back then, you couldn't just buy a song. You had to buy the entire cassette
album.
Or album. It was even before CDs.
It's true.
And it was just huge.
It was.
So, I think from that particular album, as I said, three or four songs went number one. Yep. And at this particular time, that song, Like a Virgin, was number one.
It was iconic and ubiquitous.
Yeah. And it was...
You only get to drink once, because when I say ubiquitous, I'm making fun of him.
So I'm not saying it because I don't want to get teased about it.
Right.
But that song was also featured in Quentin Tarantino's first big hit, Reservoir Dogs.
Great film. I really like that film.
Yeah.
Why do I have to be Mr. Pink?
And you're going to talk about the Canadian number one song in 1985, Steve.
The Honey Drippers.
Amazing song.
Sea of Love.
Love that song.
Robert Plant, Jimmy Page.
Yep.
And the reason I say this is because I think I've told this story before. As I've said, I think I mentioned this in the episode with Norm. High school was not a very good time for me.
We've mentioned that.
For a lot of reasons.
To me, many times.
And I for some reason, and I don't know why, I used to go to school dances. I hated going to school dances. I got to see Karen every once in a while because, you know, as for those of you who don't know, my current wife, I've only had one wife.
I tried to throw it in like you did to me, but
I've only had one wife. But my current wife, Karen, I had a massive crush on in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, she was, in high school, she was the one. And I used to see her.
It's just too bad she wasn't a Sergeant Rock fan, because you guys might have been together from the beginning.
Trust me. Well, yeah, but I used to see her in the halls kissing other guys.
Was like, war comic?
Yeah, what is that, a war comic? But the only time a girl ever asked me to dance was in 1985. And I don't know if... I think I've mentioned... I've told this story before, so I don't know if you remember, but you remember Karen Steele?
Yes.
In high school?
Yep.
The only girl ever to ask me to dance in high school, it was this song.
Really?
Yep.
That's a great song,
And so, and as we were dancing, she started asking me... Maybe she had a crush on me. I don't know. I was... My headspace wasn't very good at that point.
You didn't have a lot of confidence, is what you're telling me?
I did not have a lot of confidence in myself. So that was the only song a girl ever asked me to dance. Not just in high school, but in my life. Sad life, people. But yeah, so this song always is stuck in my head. Not because, I mean, it's a great song. I really love the song, too.
Me too.
But, yeah. you know, I love the song even before she asked, Carrie Steele asked me to dance. But, we talked about the song. She asked me if I liked the song. I said yes, because, you know, Robert Plant and Jimmy Page, and, you know, and she said, yeah, yeah. And so maybe she had a crush on me. I don't know.
No, it doesn't matter. You ended up with the right Karen.
I ended up with the right Karen.
Yes. Okay. We're on to 87 now?
No, that would be... We're on to 86.
86, right. Okay, so what... Yeah, I said this earlier. The number one song in the U.S. was the same as the number one song in Canada.
And this singer, huge.
Through the 80s?
Well, even in the 70s.
Yeah, he was huge as a solo artist in the 80s,
right.
But huge as part of a group in the 70s.
Right. And that group was the Commodores.
The Commodores, yes. And the singer is?
Lionel Richie.
Right.
And the song is, of course, Say You, Say Me. Yeah.
Say you, say me. Say it for always. That's the way it should be. Say you, say me, say it together, naturally.
But he had, this was the number one song, what we're talking about. He had a multitude of number one songs. He was just,
Hello.
Yep, he was a prolific songwriter and performer.
Yep.
And yeah, just amazing. So this song, Say You, Say Me, was featured in a film at the time called White Knights, starring Gregory Hines and Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Which we have to talk about at some point.
We have, yes.
I don't think we have.
No, it's a good film.
But it's one of, because I have this idea that I want to talk about.
It's still
at some
during
point.
The Cold War.
Yeah. I have an idea that I want to talk about the Cold War
okay.
movies.
This is a Cold War
movie.
Absolutely, it was.
Because, and since we're perhaps going to do that later,
yeah.
Just wait. There are people who, when they on podcasts, when they think of an episode, they'll bang a bell.
Okay,
but this is about Gregory Hines, who was an American defector to the Soviet Union.
He was a Vietnam veteran who was disillusioned with the way he was treated after the war, and moved to the Soviet Union.
Right.
Lived in Siberia with a Russian wife.
Right,
Mikhail Baryshnikov was a Russian defector who was dancing for some international dance troupe. And they got diverted by because of a mechanical defect on the plane.
Yep.
Landed in the Soviet Union. He tried to hide his passport. They recognized him, confiscated him, and said, "We're sending you up there." And him and Gregory Hines were forced into working together because they wanted him. He was a ballerina, and they wanted him to work for the Bolshoi. Again.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, it was a really good film.
Yeah. And so, Say You, Say Me was on that. Yeah. Although I don't know if it's on the soundtrack.
I think it is.
I think it's a weird thing where it wasn't actually on the soundtrack.
There was two number one songs from that soundtrack. There's this one, and there's also the one with Phil Collins and
Marilyn Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Separate Lives.
Separate Lives, which is a great song.
Yep.
Written by Stephen Bishop.
Oh, really?
Right, who also had many number one hits. But, you know, the song from Tootsie, It Must Be You. It Might Be You. It Might Be You. So we have to do Cold War movies at some point.
Yes, okay. Here.
Okay, what?
Ooh, do it
yes,
again.
All right.
Cold War movies, here we go. We're up at 87?
Yes.
Okay, so okay. 87, you want to, I'll do 87 US, you do 87 Canada?
Okay, well, because the US charts, I don't really like this song. I like the band, I don't like this song.
I agree. I don't like this song, but I do like several songs by this band.
Mm-hmm.
They actually did a really, really good song that was written by Prince. But the band is The Bangles.
And the song by Prince is Manic Monday.
Yes. This song is Walk Like an Egyptian, which was just kind of a...
Yeah.
Kind of a really bubblegum pop.
Yes.
It became a phenomenon, I think, more because of the video and because it was kind of fun. And it was probably the only song that the Bangles did where it featured vocals from all four members.
Yeah.
Because Susanna Hoffs was the lead vocalist, and she did most of the vocals. But in this particular song, all four of them had singing.
My favorite song by the Bangles is a song they did not write. It was a cover. Hazy Shade of Winter.
From Less Than Zero.
Right.
Yeah.
By Paul Simon.
Paul Simon.
Simon
Garfunkel song.
Yeah. I don't often say this.
Yeah.
Better than the original.
I think so.
Go listen. If you haven't listened to it, pause this right now. Go listen to Hazy Shade of Winter by the Bangles. I'm going to say the F word again. They can fucking rock, given the chance.
Big time. And that movie had Robert Downey Jr., Andrew McCarthy, Jamie Gertz.
The lovely
James Spader.
I had a thing for Jamie Gertz back in the day.
Great. The movie's good, too. Yeah.
So, Hazy Shade of Winter.
So, as we said, this song is not our favorite Bangles song.
No.
They're a good band. Mm. All right. What's Canada?
87. I like this song.
I love this song.
This is a song, again, with a message.
I love this song.
It's about racism.
Yep. It's about racism. It's just about being a jerk.
Yeah.
Because it's not just racism. There's about...
that's true.
Homeless people
as
well.
That's true. Yeah. And it's Bruce Farnes being the range. Mm-hmm. The way it is. Yeah. You know, that's the way it is.
It was one of those songs. Bruce Hornsby was a pianist.
Yes.
Who became I'm not going to use the word icon, but became a very, very popular pop singer using the piano and other mediums. But Bruce Hornsby, he told a good story, especially this song. But he was 6'7".
Yeah, he's
and he tall. Also had a scholarship to play university basketball.
He's also the first. I'm not being a musician. I mean, I know people have styles, but there's not often times when I hear, like, say a guitar solo, I can say, "Oh, that's Eric Clapton."
Yeah.
But he did the opening piano on Don Henley's song, "The End of the Innocents."
Yes.
Okay. It's one of the first times when I heard the piano, I went, "That's Bruce Hornsby." Yeah.
He had Mandolin Rain too.
Yeah, Mandolin Rain.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, I love that song, Steve.
Yeah.
Always have. Still do.
Yeah. So 1988. Now, this is a guy.
Same number one. Yeah.
This is a guy. The more I hear about him, the more I think he was a fantastic person.
Yeah,
Right. This is a guy who, the more you know about, like there are people. The more you know about, the less you like.
The first. Okay. So yeah, what you're saying. The first song that brought him to limelight. I hate it.
Right.
I kind of like it now, but I hated it at the time. But as his persona evolved, and I found out more and more about him, and as his musical library grew, I came to love him.
And this is George Michael Faith.
Faith. His voice was great. Yeah. But the first song...
Wake me up before you go.
And I was like, what the hell is this?
But this is a guy who... gave Andrew Ridgely co-writing credit on Careless Whisper because he knew that it would be a hit, and Andrew Ridgely had nothing to do with Careless Whisper.
No, he had nothing to do with really anything. Right. He was George Michael's friend. He could
George Michael
play
knew
the guitar and sing back.
That he would never have to worry about money again. That's the kind of guy he was. And the more I learned about George, I was never a huge George Michael fan. Right, not really a fan of his music. I will be honest.
I like the song "Father Figure." I really like that. Yep. I like some of his solo stuff. I love the version he did of "Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me" when he actually brought Elton John out in the concert. Yep. So, yeah, George Michael. I've become a massive fan of his.
The more I learn about him, the more I think he's just like a good guy.
Yeah.
And that, was
a good guy. It's unfortunately he's passed now, but was a good guy.
Another one who died too young.
Yep.
And so we're up to 1989,
the last year of the 80s.
And the U.S. charts in 1989 is a song that I don't have much good to say about it.
No, we've talked about this in the past. I have nothing good to say about that song or the band.
Yep. I will probably. Well, I don't have to see him, of course.
You're gonna hear this song.
No. I will not be there.
Okay.
I will not be there. He will be on the 80s cruise that I'm going on with my lovely wife. However, I will not be listening to Bret Michaels and Poison singing "Every Rose Has Its Thorn," or as I call it, "Every Band Has Its Shitty Song."
It's just, painful.
Yeah, I don't like Poison at all.
And what I'm going to say about the Canadian number one is this is probably one of my least favorite songs by this band.
That's
this
true.
Is,
yeah.
This is a band that I absolutely love.
Uh-huh.
I really do.
Uh-huh.
And this is another band who had a massive a library of songs in the 70s before the 80s.
Yeah.
They had songs in the 70s before, Chicago.
Chicago.
Before Peter Cetera became the lead singer.
Right.
They had songs in
Terry
the 70s.
Kath,
yeah. In the 70s with the big, the brass. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's the stuff that I love. But I also loved a lot of stuff they did in the 80s with Peter Cetera.
As you know.
This song, I really.
Yep. My wedding.
Yep.
I guess it's a processional. When Karen walked down the aisle, it was to a Chicago song. You're the Inspiration.
Yes, and I love that song.
Our recessional was Highway to Hell, but when we walked down the aisle as husband and wife, it was Highway to Hell by AC/DC.
Yeah.
But, because, again, love them or hate them, in the 70s and the 80s, Chicago was huge.
They were everywhere. They were like Genesis or one of these bands that just kind of were all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
They were almost everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's...
Go ahead. One of the songs that still, to this day, appears on my playlist is Old Days.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's probably the late 70s. That's when Peter Cetera first started playing.
Yeah,
We talk about nostalgia, but this song is about nostalgia.
Mm. Yeah.
Old Days. Love that song.
Yep.
Yeah. So I just want to throw that out there.
And so Look Away is a song. I don't know if we mentioned it. It's probably not their best song.
No. It's not. That's why I brought this up.
But it was number one.
Yeah.
You know. And so that's been our troll.
That's been our troll. That's a through, Happy New Year.
Through the 1970s.
Everything we talked about was number one on the charts on January 1st. Yep. Of years from 1970 to 1989.
Right. Exactly. So as 2020 approaches, is there anything you would like to say to your listeners?
No, other than I've once again enjoyed doing what we do here. I look forward to doing it again for another year. And I guess the only other thing we didn't talk about is what's going to be the outro.
Yes. I'm going to suggest, for my own selfish, personal reasons, the Honey Drippers. Just because.
I'm 100% in agreement with this. I love this song. I've always loved this song.
In a Sea of Despair.
I still love this song.
It's a great song.
Sea of Love.
The story I told is absolutely true.
Yeah.
But, it's still a song I still like.
No,
anyway.
Sea of Love.
Yeah,
Sea of Love. And I'm going to say it too because this is when Carmel and I were dating.
All right.
This is personal stuff there. All right.
So, just to the tens of listeners that we have.
Tens of listeners. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I hope 2020 brings you good things.
Cheers.
Cheers. And I hope you come back for an episode we probably recorded 2 months ago in 2020.
12 months ago.
12 months ago. Editor Steve is a little bit behind, and he's a jerk.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that because he already doesn't like me.
No, well, that's because you have a cute ad and he doesn't. Happy New Year.
Good night, everybody.
And Rubber Plant, the Honey Drippers.
See you in love.
Take care.
Take care. I love you.
how much I love you.